We're going to pick up where we left off last week as we begin a series of messages kind of looking at the church in the book of Acts. And again, we'll probably at some point get out of the book of Acts and look at the church in other areas. And I can't tell you where all we're going to end up in the next few weeks, but I'm kind of excited to see where this might go. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and turn there. John the Baptist, what was his role? Forerunner for Jesus. Okay. So John the Baptist, his role, his God-given responsibility was to be a forerunner for Jesus. Jesus was not on to his public ministry yet, and so John the Baptist's job was to let the people know, hey, this is the long-awaited Messiah. This is the Lamb of God you've been awaiting. His job was to introduce Jesus to the people. And so one day, while John was out at the Jordan River, we're told that he was preaching to the crowd. And in his message to that crowd, he said to them, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." And John told the crowd, he said, "I indeed baptized you with water, but he," speaking of Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." 3 years later, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He knows he only has hours before being arrested and tried and crucified. And so Jesus has given his disciples some final teachings and instructions about some of the things that they would soon experience. And in those teachings, he said to them, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," a reference to the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." From there, Jesus goes on to be crucified and resurrected. And that is where we come into the book of Acts, because that's really where the book of Acts opens up. If you remember, just an update from last week, the book of Acts acts as a hinge between the Gospels and the Epistles. The Gospels prepared us for the church to come. The book of Acts is a transitional book that shows the church being born. You have the epistles that lays the foundation, the doctrine, and the structure of the church. And so the book of Acts is a transitional book. And so let's turn to the book of Acts, as you already have, chapter 1. We're going to just read verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, "After his suffering," which is a reference to Jesus' crucifixion, it says, "he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Verse 4, "On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" In verse 5, "For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, on one side of the fence, and we'll call it a Christian fence if you want, on one side of the fence, there are those Christians that will believe or do believe that to be baptized with the Spirit means that it is some type of an ecstatic experiential event that will take place, and it will cause a person to begin to break out speaking in tongues. And even though the Bible never teaches that, they believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that all Christians are called to seek God for. For the most part, and it's not true across the board, but for the most part, those that teach that position are often referred to as Pentecostals or Charismatics. And let me add a note here, though. Just a little side note. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has been going on for 2,000 years. The Pentecostal movement's only a little over 100 years old. Take that for what it's worth. Now, on the other side of the fence, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is seen in a completely different light. And that's the light I want us to focus on this morning. Understanding what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is extremely important if you ever want to understand the rest of the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, it is so important that in verses 4 and 5, Jesus commanded His disciples to go back to Jerusalem and that they were to stay there until they were baptized with the Spirit. And then Jesus adds down in verse 8, so let's look there. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I want to just point out that word, when. If you have a King James, it'll say after. That implies that one event follows after another. And so there is a difference between being baptized in the Spirit and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll deal with that more later next week. So here's what Jesus is saying here. He is saying, guys, I've got some tremendous work for you to do for the kingdom of God. But you will need to first be baptized by the Holy Spirit before you will ever be able to carry it out. The lesson here is this. Apart from the intervention of the Holy Spirit, you, I, Grace Baptist Church, can do nothing that is effective or worthwhile for the kingdom of God. See, God's work for Grace Baptist Church will always be a supernatural work. So it will require supernatural intervention. Now, having said all that, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is it so important? What is the purpose of being baptized in the Spirit? When does it happen? Is the baptism of the Spirit the same as being filled with the Spirit? So let me just begin by looking at the word baptize. In verse 5, again, Jesus said, John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The word baptized there is used two times. Both times it's the same word in the Greek. It has the same meaning. The only difference, though, is the object with which the baptizing is being done. One is done with the object of water, while the other is done with the, and I hate to call the Holy Spirit an object, but one is done with the Holy Spirit. The word baptized in its simplest form means to immerse something or to dip something. Today, when we think of the word baptize or baptism, we think of it to be a so-called religious term describing a religious ritual. But to the Jewish people of ancient times, the word baptized just had a simple common meaning. Especially anyone familiar with the garment industry. See, in relation to the garment industry, they would take a piece of cloth or clothing and they would baptize it. They would take it and they would dip it or they would immerse it in a dye for the purpose of changing the color. And so baptized to the Jewish mindset back then was just a common term. It didn't necessarily mean anything religious. Throughout the Old Testament, there's numerous fabrics listed, and their colors are listed. For example, the curtains of the tabernacle or the curtains of the temple, what have you. They were described as being either blue, purple, crimson, or scarlet. We're told that the kings or the people of royalty would wear purple garments. As a matter of fact, if you think back to Jesus' trial, they put something on Him. What was it? Anybody remember? What was it? Yeah, what color was it? Purple. It was an indication of royalty. You know, Jesus had been claiming He was the King of the Jews, and so for the sake of humiliating Him, they put a purple robe on Him to mock His claim to royalty. And so to get those colors, they didn't have a Walmart there in Jerusalem to run to. They didn't have a fabric shop down on the corner. And so they would take their fabric that they had and they would baptize it into a dye to get the color they needed. Now that's baptism in its natural sense of the word. But obviously Jesus talked about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was talking in the spiritual sense of the word. Therefore, it's an invisible act of God. It's something that God does inside of us. And it happens the moment a person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So that's when the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place. When you give your life to the Lord, you are automatically baptized with the Holy Spirit. Scripture teaches us that when a person places their faith in Christ, God sends His Holy Spirit into our hearts, so-called covering our spirit with His Spirit. It's something that only God can see, but we know it happens because Jesus says so. Now, let me say something here. Placing a piece of cloth into some dye is more than just a simple act. It's an act of transformation. If you put a piece of white cloth in a bowl of purple dye, what do you get? Purple cloth. Absolutely. You pull it out, it's purple. See, what was once a white piece of material is now a purple piece of material. It was transformed from white to purple. And to take it a step further, not only was the cloth transformed from one color to another, it also takes on a new identification. For example, the piece of cloth that you once called white, you now call purple. White no longer defines it. Let me add something else here. With the transformation of color comes a new character. See, what was once at one time a plain piece of white cloth with limited use has become a garment for royalty because it's purple. Now, even though baptizing a piece of cloth in dye is a visible act of man, and baptizing a Christian with the Spirit is an invisible act of God, the principles remain the same. See, in the same way that a piece of cloth has been baptized in dye takes on a whole new identification, when a person comes to the Lord and is baptized with the Holy Spirit, they also take on a whole new identification. They go from being identified as a sinner to being baptized in the Spirit to now be a sinner saved by grace. They go from being identified as belonging to the world to now belonging to the body of Christ. They're no longer identified as belonging to the kingdom of darkness because now they belong to the kingdom of light. You go from being identified as being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. You go from being spiritually bankrupt to spiritually rich. You go from being identified as one headed to hell to one being headed to heaven. You go from being identified as a child of Satan to becoming a child of God. Now, you and I may not always be aware of our identification change, but you can be assured that the spiritual forces in the supernatural world are aware of. You can be assured that Satan knows your identification. Now, as I said a moment ago, when you take a white piece of cloth and then baptize it or immerse it into a dye, its character is changed. That is also true when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, before a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, their character is described as being unholy, unrighteous, prideful, the list goes on. But when we place our faith in Christ, we're baptized with His Holy Spirit, and with that baptism comes a character change. Following the baptism with the Spirit, God sees our character to be like that of Christ's, which of course is not unholy, but holy. It's not unrighteous, it's righteous. It's not prideful, it's humble. And so there's a character change. Something else that occurs when we're baptized with the Spirit. We're given security. In the book of Ephesians, you don't need to turn there because I'm not going there in verse-wise, but if you read through the book of Ephesians, we're told that the moment the Holy Spirit baptizes us, He seals us. He protects us from being able to lose our salvation. We're told there in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we're told that at the time we are baptized with the Spirit, He brings with Him spiritual gifts, which we are to use for the promotion of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13 says this. The body is a unit. What's he referring to there? The body what? The church. The body or the church is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. And he says, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And so anyone that's ever gave their life to the Lord, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into His church. You didn't see it happen. You just know it happens because Scripture tells us. From this we learn that when we're baptized with the Spirit, we are so-called inducted into the universal church of Christ. There is the invisible church that's around the world, and then you just broke up in local churches like what you see in your communities. There are certainly a lot more that could be said on the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I just want to touch on it this morning because it is important to have a basic understanding of what it means when it comes to understanding the church in the book of Acts. Now, I mentioned earlier, Pentecostals or Charismatics in general teach that the baptism with the Spirit happens sometime after salvation. It's something you seek. It could be months. It could be years. But the Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. I just read in 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul said all were baptized with the Spirit. Not some now, not some later. All. When you come to the Lord, you've been baptized with the Spirit. Pentecostals in general or charismatics are those that believe there's ecstatic experiences when it comes to baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in all of Scripture that teaches that. There's nothing to support that. Being baptized in the Spirit or with the Holy Spirit is something that takes place the moment you accept Christ. The moment a person is baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as I said, comes and takes residence into your heart. At that time, you will receive all of the Holy Spirit that you will ever receive. You can't get more of the Holy Spirit. We never have to ask God to give us more of His Spirit because we already have all of the Spirit we will ever receive. So if somebody's ever telling you you're full of something, make sure they tell you you're full of the Holy Spirit, okay? The baptism with the Spirit is an invisible act of God where He adopts us into His family and places us into the body of Christ, which again is the church. You say, well, you're repeating yourself. It's because I want you to get it. When a person is baptized with the Spirit, they are giving access to all of the various resources God has for us that will help us live the Christian life the way we are supposed to live it. When the Holy Spirit takes up residence in a person's heart, He brings with Him new life. 1 Corinthians 5:17. You guys know this. If anyone is in Christ, he's what? New creation. When the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your heart, he brings you new life. It says the old is gone, the new has come. Upon being baptized with the Holy Spirit, we get to start life all over. And on top of that, he gives us everything we need to get it right. One of the things God gives us when we're baptized with the Spirit is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going next week. Because if you take a Christian, if you take a church that is operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, they have the potential of turning the world upside down. If you don't believe me, read the book of Acts. All right. Understanding the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to you has the potential of changing your whole life from the top to the bottom. Now, I want to close this morning by just simply taking a second here to mention Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, 9 says, "You, however, are not controlled, or you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." I'm going to read that again, Romans 8, 9. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." But then he went on to say, "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Simply put, if a person has never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they're not saved. Regardless of what they say, think, or do. Proof of whether or not someone's been baptized with the Spirit is they have a changed life, they have changed priorities. That's the short version. Proof of whether or not someone's been baptized with the Holy Spirit is they have a changed life and changed priorities. If a person claims to be a Christian, but their life is basically the same, the odds are pretty good, they're still lost. Because see, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in a person's heart, their level of conviction will continue to increase. Believe it or not, the more the Holy Spirit works in your life, the more and more and more sensitive you become to sin. As we get ready to close with the final song, I want to just share with you, or actually so-called offer you, I guess, maybe just ask you a question. Have you ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit? I guess the simplest way to put that is, have you ever been saved? I've come across people over the years I would witness to, and they would say, "You know, I want to get back in church, or I want to go to church, but I want to fix this in my life, and I want to fix that first." I had one guy used to tell me all the time, he'd come, I don't know, once a year, every two, three times a year, and he'd always say, "If I come into church, the roof's going to collapse." You know, well, one day he come in, I walked there and said, "Hey, roof's still up." You can't fix enough. That's the problem. See, you need the Holy Spirit to come into your life, because he's what brings the new life. He's what brings the changes. Because you and me, we're too weak to do it on our own. I'm a living testimony of that. And you are too. So where are you at in life? You having a ball? you think you got to change things before you come to the Lord? Because if you can change the things on your own, you don't even need Jesus anyway. But I'm here to tell you, you won't change them. You may fix them for a while, but it won't be long term. Jesus Christ says, I want to come into your life. I want to send my Spirit into your heart, and I want to change you. And He don't ever want to change you for the bad. He wants to change you for the good. I have never come across a Christian who complains about the way God changed them. Anybody here got any complaints about the way God's changed? Okay, thank you. I'll make sure I was telling the truth there. God is in the life-changing business. The only way He changes lives, though, is when you give yours to Him. He sends His Spirit to come into your heart, and that transformation begins to take place. Don't leave here without that occurring. Let me tell you something the Holy Spirit does. If you've never given your life to the Lord and you're sitting there today and you're going, maybe I want to, maybe I don't. That right there is the Holy Spirit already tugging on your heart saying, I want in. If you continue to reject Him, there may be, I can't say there is, but there could be a day where He quits tugging. I would strongly encourage you to open your heart up to Him. And I will be around here. I would love to talk to you and share that with you. Because your eternity hangs in the balance. Let's pray. Father God, just come to You this morning. Just to think of the fact that You would send Your Holy Spirit to live in us is astounding. Who are we to even be worthy of Your residence in our hearts? But that is the magnitude of Your love for us. Not only are You willing to come into our hearts and take up residence, You're also willing to begin to transform us, to make us more of who you intended us to be, like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I hope this message brought some clarity to a subject that can be quite confusing at times. But more than that, Lord, I pray it speaks to anyone here, Lord, that hasn't got You living in their heart, that maybe they'll understand You do want to take up residence. You do love them. You do want to bring new life to them, both now and throughout eternity. And so, Lord, as Your Holy Spirit tugs on hearts, I pray You not quit tugging. And that everyone will have their heart open for You to enter. Lord, we love You. I thank You for everyone here this morning. In Christ's name, amen.